All right. The thing is, it says, we're to know God's will. We're to seek to live according to his will. In other words, his will be done, not mine. All right. We need to understand that God's will, all right, supersedes our will or anybody's will. God's will takes precedent. And when we do it according to God's will, we will see success. We will see that what God said in his word he will do, he will do. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, after this manner, therefore, ye pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, we all have to agree, God's will is done in heaven, right? Well, he's declaring that that will that is done in heaven is going to be his will. It's going to be the same thing done here on the earth. He has angels that move to and fro and do his will. Well, guess what? We're here for the purpose of doing God's will here on earth, to be that example of him where God's will prevail and all will see the power of God. All right? What is God's will? Well, it's whatever he decrees in his wisdom, knowledge, holiness, grace on earth and in heaven. All right? This is his will, both in heaven and on earth. In other words, it's his wisdom, his knowledge, his holiness, his grace that flows and functions. And that's how we're to flow and function in his wisdom and his knowledge and his grace and his holiness. In fact, his word said, be ye holy as I am holy. God has declared that. That's his will for us, to be holy as he is holy, all right? The word will, all right, the Greek word is delma. And what it means is that he has determined what will happen. We need to understand, God has already determined what has happened, all right? We need just to follow through in what God and how he wants to use us to bring to pass what he has already determined will happen, all right? In other words, his plan is going to be fulfilled. All right. Our role is our lives and our plans or our will needs to agree with his. That's where the rubber meets the road, if you want to say it. All right. Our will not to be in agreement with his. And if it's not, then we need to change. God's not going to change his will. What he has purpose to do, he will do. He just requires that we be vessels by which now he can now demonstrate his will upon the earth. In John 3:16, all right, for what is God's will for us, all right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right, you see, God declared, this is my will for us, all right? His desire is that none of us would perish, that he provided his Son, that all that will receive him will receive eternal life, all right? In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will, that all will come to repentance. We know that's not going to happen, but that's the will of God, that all will come to repentance, that none would lose out. In John 6:38 through 40, it says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. We're talking about Jesus here. He declared that when he came down not to do his will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that which he hath given me I should not lose, nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. This is the will, God's will for us, that all would behold and believe on his Son and receive eternal life. That's God's will. And that's not going to change. That's going to change at all. You got to remember, when it comes to God's word, his word is absolute. It's not changing. So when you read it, it's absolute. You can believe in that word, have faith in that word, and know that God will bring it to pass. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 11, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. You hear what he's saying? He already chose us before the foundation, before he created us. He already chose us. He already had a plan and a purpose and a direction for us. It's all been set even before we were created. That was God's will. And that's God, when God said, then he's going to bring it to pass. Right? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons. Right? Here he is, he's already ordained. He's already said beforehand, all right, my purpose is that I will do a work for my son where you will be adopted as my sons and daughters. Okay? All right? Through Jesus Christ unto himself, all right, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is God's good pleasure. This is of him showing his love and his desire for us. Though sin came in and put really a monkey wrench in God's plan, all right, God had already made a plan beforehand and how to restore what was lost because of sin. As we saw in his word, he desired that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of his son. He goes on to say, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us and the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will. All right. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of time, to the sum up of all things in Christ. That is the mystery of his will, is that all things are summed up in Christ. Everything. We are lacking nothing, for all things are summed up in. So in other words, we're saying is in him we are made complete. In him will the full will of God be made manifest and demonstrated on the earth, where God requires that, because we saw that it says his will be done in heaven and on earth, or on earth as in heaven. And this is what he's doing through his son, and we'll be the ones by which he will now manifest his will upon the earth. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, you see I use Ephesians a lot because I know you remember Pastor Ron talking about the fact that he believes he just were to be in Ephesians church. As I'm in Ephesians, I believe that's exactly what God wants. When we see in Ephesians, God had already ordained and prepared beforehand, and he set the steps by which now we will enter into that relationship, where we'll come to know God's will and how God now empowers us to see his will made manifest, and how through his son he established all this. All right? In Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, it says, and you did not make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sin, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of obedience. You're talking about here, this, all right, before we were living according to the course of this world. Sin had its way. We saw no way out. We saw no freedom. All right, we were satisfying self with the things of the world, all right? And to the point that he said we were now sons of disobedience, for we didn't do the will of God. We didn't even know God in the sense that God wanted us to know him. We may have heard about God, but that's about the extent of it is. But it goes on to say, from whom also once we lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. All right, he declared, this is the state that we were in because of sin. We're all in that state, all right? But it goes on to say, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead to our trespasses, made us alive through Christ. That, therefore, it says, by grace you have been saved. Here he's declaring, this is the state we're in. He's provided his son that the state from which we're in, God desires to change it and to move into a state, all right, and fellowship and intimacy with God, to know God's will and to walk in his ways, okay? And it goes on and says, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we were down here in sin with no way of escape, suffering the punishment thereof, satisfying our own flesh and our own lusts and our own desires, but that the Father provided through his son that we get set free from that, so that now we're lifted up from this state of being in the world into a place now we sit in heavenly places with his son. In other words, we're no longer of this world, we're of his kingdom, all right? And therefore, of his kingdom, therefore, we're entitled to all the blessings, all the goodness, all right, that everything that God had provided for his kingdom is made available to us for us here and now. That we no longer need to live according to the standard of the world. Now we're living in according to God's standard. And that standard changes it and transforms us. That standard is taking us from a deadness that we're in into a new life in Christ Jesus. That's why he said, all right, we are a new creation in him. Old things have passed away. You remember, once we see Jesus, the old, that's not who we are anymore. We're a new person, a complete new person in Christ Jesus. All right, all that past has been washed away in the blood. All that past has been forgotten. Now walk in this newness of life that we have received in him. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast. Okay? Here he's declaring here, all right, it's a total free gift. We can't earn it. No matter what we do, we cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn that free gift. We cannot earn eternal life. All right? Now, in verse 10, this is to me the important verses. For we are his workmanship. Once we receive Jesus and we've been translated from kingdom of the world into his kingdom, we belong to God. And he's declaring, for we are his. We belong to him now. All right? And it says we are his workmanship. God's doing a work in us. He's changing us from where we were into the newness and the new being he wants us to be in his son. It's a work. And he goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus. So he's already declaring, all right, I've set you free from the power of sin through my son and what he did on the cross. You belong to me now. And what I desire to do is to create you into the image of my son Jesus. I want to transform you to be just like him. And it goes on to say, for good works which God beforehand prepared that we should walk in them. In other words, God already prepared it beforehand. He already made the plan. All right. Once we receive him, now he begins to implement that plan. And God's not going to change that plan. As we walk with him, he's going to bring that plan to fulfillment. His will is going to be done. We can get in the way and stumble and cause that plan to falter at times. But God will bring his plan to pass. All right. And so what are the works that he's talking about? All right. Well, in John 14:12, it says here, very, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than you shall do, because I go to the Father. Here it is. You wonder what the word, this is what God's declaring. This is the works, what Jesus Christ has done. All right? You want to find out what he's done? Get into his word. You'll find out. Yes, he did great signs, great miracles, great wonders, but he also showed compassion. He showed love. He showed kindness. All right? He was sympathetic. All these, in other words, he was experiencing and manifesting, all right, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, patience. All right? These are the works that, as well. And in that, then you will see that you begin to do the works of the power works, what they talk about, where the Holy Spirit works through you in signs and wonders follow. Because he has called us. Every single one of us, all right, in the Great Commission, that we go forth proclaiming the gospel. It goes on to say, raising the dead, casting out the demons, the blind that they would see, the deaf, the crippled that they would walk, the mute that they would speak, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. He's called us, all right? That's part of God's will. Sometimes we forget about that God had a purpose for us. And it's not for us just to wander aimlessly, but he has a purpose and a plan which he wants to see in us and begin to see it come forth, all right, that his will would be done upon the earth, that we're the vessels by which he desires to do, all right? In Ephesians 3:14 through 19, it says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You know what God's glory is? His manifest presence. That's the glory of God. What he's saying here, he wants his manifest presence to be seen. He wants that presence to be shined from us. All right? Even in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, and said, arise, shine, for your light hath come, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. All right, you hear me saying? For the glory of the Lord is upon you. You can put it, for the manifest presence of God is upon you. All right, he goes on to say, for there's darkness in the world and gross darkness over the people, but Christ will arise on you, and the glory of God on the manifest presence shall be seen. That's what God's will is, that his manifest presence be seen wherever we go. That's God's will for us. That's his purpose. We need to understand that. You know, we limit ourselves to what God can do. When God's plan is, and we almost can't put in full comprehension of God's plan, where the fact is he wants his manifest presence to be seen wherever we go. That you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. He was saying, strengthened with power through his spirit, where in the inner man, allowing the Holy Spirit, because you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, Holy Spirit dwells within us, all right? But he wants us to be strengthened by that Spirit inwardly. Why? For the purpose that now it would be shown outwardly. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend or to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ. All right? He's talking about to know Christ in a way that we can't even comprehend the fullness of his love. That there's no limit to God's love. There's no limit to Christ's experience in us, the experience we can have with him. And it goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. He's saying here to be filled with all the fullness. All right? Doesn't mean that you become God, but that his manifest presence would be fully expressed on you and be seen. That's what he's saying. His total manifest presence that God and his will had purposed for us. That's what God's plan is for us. To bring us to that place where wherever we go, his manifest presence shall be the opportunity in there for us to reach out with the gospel, all right, to just be a witness for him, for those wherever we come. That's what God wants from us, that his will be done. All right, in Acts 13, 22, you'll find I use a lot of scripture. When God gives me a message, I don't just take a few verses. I bring a lot of scripture so that I can show and bring support to what I believe God is saying. All right? But it's your responsibility to take that now and search it even deeper to see and to know. Am I what I'm saying is right? Does what I'm saying hold up to the whole word of God? That's your responsibility. That's what God's will is for us. All right? Because then he say, you know, I believe it said in Timothy, study, show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm bringing you what I believe is the word of truth. And God's saying is, now you need to take that truth and study it and see that it holds up to God's word, to God's standard. How do you know if I'm right? I mean, it may sound good to me, but how do you really know that I'm right? This is the only standard by which we can know the truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. You don't know that now. I may be saying it sounds really good, but you don't know if it's somewhere around my human nature gets in there and I start going off track. You don't have no idea. How are you going to be able to test that word? You can't. You need the word of God. Acts 13:22 says, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of David as far as God's will is contained. In Acts 13:22, it says, when he had removed him, which he's talking about then, back then, yeah, God had removed Saul from being king because Saul was not doing the will of God, all right? And in fact, it got to a point that God was really disappointed in him, right? And then at one time there that he had done something, I won't get into great detail, my friend, but where he disobeyed God, and then Samuel had said to him, because he's ripped his coat in two, that God has taken the kingdom away because of that, all right? But here he says, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he bore witness and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who shall do all my will. Are we going to be one where the Lord can say, you're a man, you're a woman after my heart. I can see you will do my will. We need to consider that. Are we in that place? If we're not, are we going to pursue? Have we come to that place where we will be doing God's will? Not our will, but God's will be done. And it's up to us to make that choice. It's up to us to take those necessary steps. And when we take those steps, you know that we're not going to be taken alone, but the Spirit will guide us so that we can come to know that truth. And so that once we know that truth, now by the Spirit, that truth become real and evident and begin to be expressed outwardly, that we are changed into the truth of God's word, the real truth. All right, in Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. All right, now this is David speaking here. And I like what he says here. It says, I delight to do thy will. Do you delight to do the will of God? Do you take joy and pleasure in doing what pleases him? Because when you do his will, that pleases God. God is pleased. God is really pleased when we do his will. Because when we do his will, we're putting him first. We're showing how much we care for him, that your will is more important than anything I want or desire. You come first. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Right? God's word is written within his heart. When you get into God's word, you find out God's will, God's truth, and God's purpose for us. And he desired that now it would be established within our heart. From within the heart of the person comes forth the person. So whatever's in there is going to come forth. If it's God and his will, that's going to come forth. If it's the world and the things of the world, that's going to come. You can't hide it. You may try for a little while, but you can't. And then you wouldn't want to hide God's presence. If you're doing it, then I say, you need to be getting on your knees and find out which one. I remember I had two guys that I worked with, right, that they came to me once separately and told me that they were born again, they knew the Lord, but it's personal. They keep it in themselves. They don't tell anybody. And I told them, well, you're doing well, because I didn't know. It should not be said about us, all right, that nobody knew that you knew the Lord, that you loved the Lord. Keep it personal. They're not doing the will of God. God even said, shout it from the rooftops. Shout it from the mountains. Don't hold back. Let it proclaim it throughout. It says, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Jehovah, Lord. Thou knowest. Here's the saying here. Man, I proclaim it. I let everybody know that my God, he reigns in my life. His will is done. And the joy and the peace and the established that I am, that God did it for me. And I'll rejoice and tell everybody about that what God has done for me, God can do for you. And that's what he wants us to proclaim. The goodness that God's done for us, he will do for you. It's not just reserved for us only. That's why he said, go and proclaim the gospel. Let good news go. But the state that you're in, you don't have to stay that way. I was in that state. I received Jesus, and he set me free. Now I'm a new creation, a new person in him, and I've changed. And the evidence of that change is that people that know me say, you've changed, and they like that difference. So to be the evidence of it, and that's what God called us to do, to be one, to go, all right, and that they see God's goodness in us. It goes on to say, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, all right. What good is it if you keep it in here? God wants you to express it outward. All right. I have declared thy faithfulness, thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great assembly. What he's saying is that I let everybody know. I didn't hold it back from anybody. You know, I let everybody. I think when he said that, he said that even my enemies, I let them know the greatness of God. And that's what he's called us to do. All right. In Psalm 5:3, it says, O Jehovah, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice. In the morning will I order my prayer unto thee. How do you start your day? Do you start your day giving thanks unto God for the day that he's given you? Do you give thanks unto God that the very breath you breathe and when you wake up in the morning is a gift from him? And you give him thanks and declare that day unto him that thy will be done in that day in your life and whatever God will require? That's what David is saying. Every morning I started with the Lord, so that my day would go well in him. Because that's what he's declaring here. That my day, when I start, goes well with him. Because God's will is that I go and prosper and do well. And when I start with him, he makes sure that it goes well. No matter what the enemy may throw away, God will cause it to do well. In Psalm 7:17, it says, I will give thanks unto Jehovah according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to his name, the name of Jehovah Most High. Okay? You sing praise unto the Lord? I praise God all the time. I'm saying, when I came here, I was praising God when I'm coming down. All right? Because I enjoy his presence. I enjoy praising him who has set me free. I enjoy him who has forgiven my sins. Even when I blow it, God is there to forgive me and to restore me. So I give thanks unto him. I give thanks unto him because some of the trials I go through, and some of the trials I go through, I really blow it. But God is gracious and understands and sympathetic. So I thank him for every single day. I thank him when I got up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Because I had no guarantee that I would be here this morning. When I wake up, then I say, okay, God, you give me another day. So here I am, bringing his word. So we have no guarantee that we'll be around tomorrow. But when you are, thank God for it. Psalm 9, verses 1 says, I give thanks unto Jehovah with my whole heart, and I will show forth all thy marvelous works. All right? He's telling us that all that God's done for us, let it be known. Let everybody know and see what God has done for you. All right? Because that's God's will for us, that we be those that would shine forth and let others know what God's will is, what he's done for my life, God's will is to do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And everything give thanks. All right? Oh, not only when it goes well for you, even when it goes, when you're going through a trial. It says, give thanks, because you can be guaranteed that God will bring you through. When I had the fire, all right, and I lost the house, I said, God, I'm thanking you, all right? Because I know this is something I can't handle, but I'm giving it to you, and you're going to take care of it. So I'm going to rest in you knowing. Right? Because then I was doing prison ministry, and I was going door to door. And I said, God, I'm not giving that up. I'm not going to stop doing that because the house burned, all right? I'm giving it to you, you're going to take care of it. And he did. He took care of it. I continued to do what God asked me to do. Yes, I worked on the house as well. But I didn't stop doing what God asked me to do. And what did God do? All I wanted was, I had a 6-room house. All I wanted was what I had lost. All right? God gave me a 12-room house for the money that the insurance gave me just to repair it. That was the other thing. The insurance wasn't even going to be, I had to tear it down because the city wouldn't let me live in it. But they only have to pay according to my insurance policy. I didn't read the small print. It stated that they don't have to pay to restore the current code. And so my house didn't meet code, so therefore all I had to do was pay to restore what it was, but the city said I can't. But God showed up because I said, God, I'm giving it to you. You said you'll take care of the things that I go through. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to keep doing what you asked me to do. And God will show up. And one thing about God, you can't outbless God. You may be satisfied with this, but God says, no, you may be sad, but I'm not. I'm giving you more. Why? Because you stood for me. You were willing to do my will, regardless of what you're going through. All right? I'm going to bless you for that. And that's our God. And God wants us to declare that wherever we go to others, that they don't have to be in the state that they're in, but that God is there for them and provided, and that if they would but receive his son, all his blessings will be for them. And they'll know they're not going alone, that no matter what trial they go through, God will be with them, and not just be with them, but he will deliver them. All right, in Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you talk about renewing your mind, this is what you saw. You want to know God's perfect will? It's right here in his word. As much as you spend time in his word, is as much as you'll get to know the will of God for you and for your life. It's all right here. And it's all up to you to choose. Are you willing to get into God's word and know the will that he has for you, the purpose he has for you, and how you will come to know how he will perform it in and through you? It's up to you. It's totally up to us. It's the choice that we make. I got good news. In Ephesians 5:17-18, it says, wherefore, ye be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunken with wine, wherein it is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. That is God's will for us, that we be filled with his Holy Spirit. For through his Holy Spirit, there's the transformation and change. Through his Holy Spirit, now we become vessels by which he can use, to reach the lost, to be a witness for him, to see God's will now being done in the world as God's called us to. In Colossians 3, 1 and 3, it says, if then you were raised together with Christ, seeking the things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. So set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died and your life is hid in Christ, in God. And he's declaring here, is that we're no longer here. Our lives are not in him. Are we going to live to the fullness of Christ's life in us to the glory of God? To seeing and doing his will. That's what he's called for. All right? All right, in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. That's a strong, strong proclamation, what this is saying here. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but those that do the will of my Father in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by your name and by thy name cast out demons, by thy name do many things or many works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the thing that you say, wow, they did all these wondrous, marvelous things. All right? Well, I happen to, everybody knows John Wesley. He was an evangelist there in the 1800s who in England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland went and preached and many. All right? He wrote this article there, and I got to read it, and it says, I'll quote it from what he said. After a lifetime of trying to earn God's grace, Wesley attended a Bible study and realized that salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned. He finally understood that good habits are the result of God's grace and mercy, not the cause of it. In other words, what he's saying is that he was doing all these things that because of the good things he was doing. That's why God's grace and mercy was on him. When he's saying it comes to realization, no. It's because of God's grace and mercy I am doing these good things. So he goes on to say, in using all manners, seek God alone, in and through every outward thing, look only to the power of his Spirit and to the merits of his Son. Beware you do not get stuck in the work itself. If you do, it is all lost labor. I think that's what Jesus was saying here. All right, that even though they did these marvelous things in his name, said they did not know them. All right, because they did it with the wrong attitude or the wrong understanding. All right, lost labor. Nothing short of God can satisfy your soul. Therefore, fix on him in all, through all, and above all. All right, fix all things on him and all things through him and above all things from above. All right. Remember also to use all means as a means as ordained by God. So the means by which we move, it has ordained. It's God's will that we move. All right. Not on our own. Thinking that by doing it on our own, all right, we're gonna earn our way in. When it says no, it's by the means of what God has ordained. And not for your sake. All right, I'm going to close with that. I think my time is up. But you guys understand what I'm saying here? You understand that what God is trying to convey here, the fact is, it's when it says, thy will be done, he declared to that side, my will needs to be done in and through you. As my will is done in heaven, I call you now to be the one that by my will be done on the earth. And that he has already proclaimed, I've got a plan for you. I've already got it all structured, all set up for you. I did it right before the very foundation of the world. I've prepared that, all right? So that now, and you receive my son, now I implement that plan. Are you willing to be that person that now God can now implement that plan, all right, where God's will be done? That's what it really comes down to. Are you willing to let God's will prevail in your life? Are you willing to let go? Remember, God never took away our free will. So he'll let us choose the way we want to go. All right? It's our choice whether we want to operate and flow in our own will or it comes right down to that. I can preach this and tell you this. What you do with it is up to you. You can walk out the door or you can let that word have its way within your heart and within your mind and see God, all right, transform you where now you're getting an understanding and see the truth of that word needs to be in me so that it can flow out. That's the will of God for us.